B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger and Mass. Again, Mike is out today. Murray's out. Adam Jones alongside. Christian Arcan here to give us headlines. We'll open up the phones in a second. 617-779-0985. Brought up the Celtics in the last segment. But I do want to get back to Robert Kraft's comments the end of last week to Peter King of NBC Sports, Football Morning in America, and also Albert Breer, Burt Breer, our buddy. Non-stop talking Burt Breer. The bad cell phone. Burt of Sports Illustrated, and Kraft had similar comments to each one of them about the Patriots spending spree last week. And again, I thought this is, first of all, the timing of the comments, perfect. At least we've heard something from Kraft, even if it's not in a press conference, about the team's decision-making, or at least we've heard something from somebody over there in an actual interview about the team's approach here in the free agent market. And the question I have to fans today really relates to, here we are now a week later. It's a week later after the flurry that was the Patriots' activity in the free agent market. How do you feel about it now? We all got caught up in the middle of it. We all like the signings. We like the acquisitions. Okay, we all like that. Who doesn't?
Most of them.
Okay, most of them is right. But I'm saying on the whole.
Yeah.
When you talk about...
Yeah, I like that they spend.
And, the approach.
And, yes, correct. Yeah.
The approach, Pac-Man, right? We always like the approach when teams are aggressive and go out and spend. We like that. So my question to Patriots fans is this. Do you think it can work? When you look at teams historically, which we'll get to in a minute, Mike Reese of ESPN had some stuff over the weekend about this. When you look at teams historically who have approached it this way, the failure rate is pretty high. And if there is a success rate, it tends to be very short and it turns very, very quickly. The general lesson being that you cannot build teams through free agency, something I think that everyone generally agrees with, in just about every sport, except maybe basketball, okay? Except maybe basketball, where if you land a premium free agent like a Kevin Durant or a Kyrie Irving or a Kawhi Leonard, you can completely change the direction of your franchise. Okay, basketball's really different than every other sport when it comes to this. But as it pertains to the Patriots, Robert Kraft to Peter King, quote, it's like investing in the stock market, Kraft said. You take advantage of corrections and inefficiencies in the market, and that's what we did. We'll see. Nothing is guaranteed, and I'm very cognizant of that. But we're not in the business to be in business. We're in the business to win. Kraft added, I do remember we always made fun of the teams that spent a lot in the offseason. So we know nothing is guaranteed, and he says again, I'm very cognizant of that. He said, made a similar comment to Burt Breer, after giving credit to all the people in the Patriots organization. He says, Kraft, quote, look, we're not going to know till the fall. We always used to make fun of the people who won the headlines in March, but here I believe we really improved our team. Okay, Pac-Man, what do you take out of that?
Well, I mean, I said this earlier. I think it's never a good sign when you have to like acknowledge your hypocrisy right up front. Like, yeah, we used to make fun of those teams, but now we think it's going to work. Like, that's never a great sign when you bring that up right out of the chute. And I just think he is trying to lower expectations a little bit. That's all. Like, he's not sold it's going to work because he's paid attention to how this goes in the past. He knows it's typically a desperate team that has to spend like crazy. And when they do, it doesn't usually work out. I don't know if you want the Mike Reese stuff now or not, but it may give you a one-year shot in the arm where you get into the playoffs. No team that spent 100 plus million prior to the Patriots, there are five of them. No team has won a playoff game in the year they did that. Only two made the playoffs. And, you know, they would usually regress the following season. It may give you a one-year shot in the arm. And then the sugar high, as you put it, wears off. So I think he's aware of that, and I think he's I think you used this word earlier. He's a little embarrassed by them being in this spot, and I would agree with that commentary. And I think the smoking gun in all of it, Robert Kraft didn't agree to do interviews with Peter King and Burt Breer because he wanted to talk about his football team, and he wanted to talk about the signings. he agreed to do the interview because he was out promoting the rights deals that they did, the television contracts that they signed, bringing Amazon into the fold. And as a byproduct, he agreed to talk about his team. It was almost like, oh, yeah, and my football team. Yeah, you know I made fun of that in the past, team spending, but we're doing it this year, and fingers crossed it's going to work out. He didn't want to go trumpet this. He had to do it because of the news cycle and his role in those new rights deals.
Christian, you have a thought, too?
Yeah, I mean, I, when you hear him talk about, I've never had to come up with so much capital before, it makes me think that, you know, he's looking at this like a lot of people are. There's a risk here, and it's a risk that hasn't existed in the past in these off seasons. And that is, you know, Bill Belichick's made bad free agent signings before. We know that. We could probably rattle off a half dozen right now just off the top of our heads of, you know, free agents that he brought in that didn't work out. But it didn't have a major impact because you always had Tom Brady in the offense and you were ready to go and you could kind of hand wave those things away. When you go and spend this much money, more money than Kraft spent buying the freaking team back when he bought them, you know? I mean, it's like, it's been that kind of offseason. When you do that, there's real consequences now. There's real risk involved. And I'm glad that Bill took the risk. I'm glad he sort of took the plunge here on, you know, the tight ends and really Everett Judon, all that. I think those are all good signings. Outside of bringing back Cam Newton, I'd say Bill did exactly what I wanted him to do here in the offseason. Just about exactly. That's every move I felt pretty good about. But these are also, you know, risky moves. You put that much money into position players, into skill position players on offense, and they don't work out. That's how the Jets ended up being the Jets. That's how the Bengals end up being the Bengals. Like, you could fall into a rut like that. That's the risk. So I think, you know, it's a good thing that they're spending. It's better to do that than to stand pat. That would be a fireable offense, to stand pat with that same crappy offense from last year. But now there's real risks involved, and I think that Kraft is maybe realizing that for the first time.
So I think, if I remember right, I think I read this over the weekends, the single most expensive offseason by any team in NFL history.
Yep. In terms of, like, guaranteed money. Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the money the Patriots have spent in guaranteed money. Correct. Now, that is a little deceiving because when a team goes haywire in any offseason, there's a good chance that because the price goes up every time, that the more recent ones are going to be the bigger expenditures. Nonetheless, it also speaks to the volume of signings. There have been plenty of teams that have spent money on one big contract or two big contracts, but they don't sign 10 players like the Patriots have. And you heard Christian mention it, and this is a comment, again, that I think speaks volumes. Robert Kraft said to Peter King, in my 27 years as owner, I've never had to come up with so much capital before. I can't imagine that's something you say proudly as an owner, or that you ever want to say as an owner. I have all this money, I have all these assets, and I've never had to come up with the cash like I had to do right now.
Right, including buying the team.
Right. And so it tells you just how, you both used the word desperate. I think they were desperate. They didn't want to do this. There's no way they wanted to do this. And so fans are happy, media people are happy. We get to talk about it for months now going forward because now we'll get to see whether the experiment works. We get to see it in action on the field. Does it take hold? Does it take foot? Do they build something? And can Belichick sustain it over any length of time? How are the Patriots going to fare in the long term with this approach? Because it is a longer term approach, given how barren their talent was. I mean, or their talent pool was, how shallow it was. So they didn't have a choice. Nobody wants to build through free agency. Nobody. So fans are happy. You know, jackasses like us are happy, Pac-Man.
Right.
But the question is now that we're a week out, if you're a fan, now that you're a week out and it's calmed down a little bit and you can see the whole picture, at least based on the first 7-8 days, do you think it can work? Do you think it will work? And if so, why? If not, why not? Because Pac-Man mentioned the Mike Reese story over the weekend. I say story. Reese does a Sunday column where he gives, you know, 10 thoughts or something to that number, akin to that number. And one of them pertained to the teams that have built through free agency and how they have fared. So we'll give you a breakdown of that, or we'll give you Mike Reese's breakdown of that when we come back again. Adam Jones, Christian Arcand in for Felger and Murray on Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We all assume the competitiveness, if you will, between the Patriots and Tom Brady stems from the coach, Bill Belichick, whose legacy is sort of intertwined. But maybe it actually starts all the way upstairs. Dominique, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely, it starts upstairs. Robert Kraft is incredibly competitive, and I'm sure that he probably was more bothered by the championship for Tom Brady last year than even Bill Belichick was, because Kimberly brought up the comparison earlier, like relationships, quarterback and their team is like a relationship. This is the same thing. You don't want to look on Instagram and see that your ex is living their best life without you, and that's what Robert Kraft is feeling right now. And so they're taking advantage of all these inefficiencies and whatever. They have money when other people don't, and they are retooling. They are ready to make a run. That is certainly the plan, and I'm sure Robert Kraft wants another championship without Brady as much as anybody in New England does.
Get up this morning, Dominique Foxworth, talking about Kraft's competitiveness. I don't know if Kraft is quite as competitive as Bill. Like, I think I would say Bill's more competitive than Kraft, but I don't want to sell him short. I mean, the guy's a billionaire. He's got to be competitive. Like, the idea of the next buck makes him competitive unto itself, right? So I don't want to shortchange him on that part of it. But I think the Patriots were humbled. I would hope that they're humbled. And, we played a cut earlier in the show or maybe it was one of the comments, Pac-Man. I get it all mixed up when I sit in this chair. For crying out loud, I have the memory of a...
Which comment? The Damian Woody comment?
No. The comment about how Kraft was happy for Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the Damian Woody one?
No, I think that was in one of the stories. That was in Bert's story.
Tanya, I have the memory of a fruit fly. It's brutal. I hear something. I can never remember who said it. I remember hearing it. I just don't know where it came from.
Yeah, I think it was Bert's story. Whatever. Kraft said it, yeah.
Okay, so, if Kraft's happy for Brady, great. I want him to be pissed off. I want him to be as pissed off as Bill is. Bill was pissed off. Bill didn't like that 7-9. There's no way Bill liked the 7-9. So for all the stuff we say about Belichick, we also know that he demands a certain level of excellence. Like, that's who he is. And so, and I think that the Krafts also want to be a successful elite franchise. I would hope that they were pissed off. But them being in the spot they're in, to get back to the essence of the comment, the Patriots didn't want to spend. They did not want to spend the way they had to on this market. You do that out of desperation, which brings us to the Reese story from the weekend, or the Reese items at ESPN.com, in which Mike Reese outlined the teams that have spent considerably over the last 5 years. And this is aggregate spending, right, Pac-Man? Over a 4 or 5 year period, the teams that have spent the most in free agency?
No, he was talking about 1 year splashes.
1 year splashes.
Peter King had a breakdown of the aggregate ones too that I can get for you in a second. But he wrote, the Patriots are the sixth team in league history to spend $100 million guaranteed during a free agency period, according to ESPN stats and info. And none of the prior five have won a playoff game in that year. Only two have made the postseason at all. And I know that number had been out there a little bit last week, as had this. He said they did show improvement, though. When accounting for the most recent top spending teams in free agency, they increased their win total by an average of more than 5 wins the next year. So a team like the Patriots would go from 7-9 last season to 12-5 next year in a 17-game season. That also was out there. This third piece I had not seen, and this is where I found what Reese wrote was interesting. He said the problems cropped up the year after that. Recent history shows those teams couldn't sustain the second year after spending big, and they averaged a drop of 5.5 wins. So, long story short, the too long didn't read. You go up by 5 year one when you infuse all that cash, and then the following year you drop right off by 5.5 wins. So, if history's any indication, they'll win 12 games this year-ish. They'll maybe make the playoffs, maybe not. They'll probably lose. They'll go right back the following year and be a 7-win team and be right back in the same predicament all over again. So
Look, so it is literally a sugar high.
Yes, correct. Yeah, it's a nice buzz. You got a nice buzz for a year, and then you wake up with a hangover. Like, that's what the Patriots are going to be dealing with. And, you know, I like that they spent money as much as anyone. I'm with Christian. I like a lot of the individual, especially the top-end signings that they made. I'm happy they spent, but being happy about them spending and then questioning how much better they are and questioning how they allocated some of it versus other positions, like, you know, the most important position on the field, I think that's the next phase of this, and I think that should be fair game. We're all happy they spent, but did they spend as wisely as they could have, and did they address the biggest needs? That's where I'm skeptical.
Yeah, two separate things.
Yeah.
Right, two separate things. Nobody wanted that same roster back. That roster sucked. So, yes, they've improved the roster. Terrific. We're all happy about that.
Good special teams last year, though.
So, but looking at it now, generally speaking, are you confident it can work? Do you believe it can work? Is it different because it's Belichick? Is it different because it's the Patriots? Are you just rooting for the laundry, or do you really look at it critically and say, I don't know? And this relates to the draft, too, which we'll get to a little bit more this hour. But I think it's a legitimate question. We're all...
Naz, when you say work, what do you mean?
Yeah,
do you
right.
Mean, are they going to be in the championships? Is it going to be a playoff team? Are they going to be better than last? Like, what is it working look like?
Working is sustained success now for a period of years. So let's remember that. I'm not talking about the Super Bowl this year, Christian. I'm talking about, can you rebuild your organization? Yeah. I think that they should, if you're going to spend this kind of money and rebuild your roster, Felger said this last week, and I think it's a good way to put it. You should challenge for the division, and you should be playing on divisional weekend. Okay, let's see what happens after that. You spend that kind of dough. You're not doing it to just go 9-8 this year on a 17-game schedule.
Last I saw, by the way, I think they're like 14th in the odds in Vegas to win a Super Bowl, and I think they're third in their own division, way behind Buffalo and even behind Miami still.
Okay, so look, again, Vegas doesn't believe in them, and maybe this will all change if Cam Newton has a better year. If they pick up a quarterback, that will all change.
Right.
So, but I'm talking about the general premise and the philosophy of doing it the way they had to do it this offseason. Fans that say they like it this way, I think, are lying. You're not being honest with yourself if that's what you're saying. Okay, you're just trying to take the sugar high of a season and at least I'll get to watch my football team this year. That's what you'll say. But don't tell me that you like it or that you believe in it, rather, and that you think it's the best way to do it, that it gives them the best chance to win. In the short term, it might, because they sucked so bad last year they had no choice, which is really the story. They didn't have a choice. They backed themselves into a corner where they had to sign Cam Newton before free agency because they had nowhere else to go at quarterback. And then they had to go out and throw money around like a bunch of drunken sailors, for lack of a better expression. I couldn't pick a more hackneyed one if I tried. But they had to throw their money around like complete idiots because they had nowhere else to turn. And they know it. That's what Kraft's comments tell me. He doesn't love it.
No, anytime you have to come out and be like, I know I said this in the past, but forget about all that. We're trying this year. That means you're not totally comfortable doing it.
He was almost apologetic, Pat.
Yeah, it's a good word for it. He probably knows they have been mocked a little bit for it because they've been very high and mighty about other teams spending. And, you know, now they're the team doing it. So I think he understands. He understands how it comes across.
And I'm telling you, in that one line, this is the most capital I've ever had to put together in 27 years. Somewhere in there, there's a little message to Belichick. Okay?
Yeah.
You did this.
Nice job, Bill.
You did this. You put us in this spot, so don't blame me now. Alan's in California. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, guys. Jones, you're great in this spot. I thought 2020 was the perfect year for drastic measures on the Patriots to get to a high draft spot. And I'm just afraid that they're about to become the Bears. They somehow managed to go 7-9, okay? And now it looks like it's just going to get even worse, and they're just never going to beat the Chiefs. I mean, and when are they going to get a quarterback? So being that you're so pessimistic all the time, and I love it, what do you think their chances are that this could change, that they could get somehow a big-time quarterback in here?
Well, it has to be the draft.
Soon.
I think it has to be the draft. Unless Garoppolo's that guy, you know, and I have my questions about Garoppolo. I think it has to be the draft. And I think we're getting to that later on in the program, so I'll save on that. But I think if Bill wanted to part with draft picks, they could easily get up there to where Fields and Lance are. You want to trade this year's first and next year's first? Now we're talking. You want to trade this year's first and your second and your third? That's a lot, but you can get up there if you want to. You know, that's what the Bills did for Josh Allen. It's what the Chiefs did for Mahomes. It's what the Texans did for Watson. And I would say go for Watson or Russell Wilson, but Wilson may not be available, and Watson you may not want to go near based on the events of the last week or so. So I think it's kind of Garoppolo, who I have questions about, or the draft, and I hope they go the draft route.
So don't save the thought too long, Pac-Man, because we'll get to it next. How about that?
All right.
Okay, Arcane will get you caught up on headlines, and then when we come back, there are people out there that believe, just what Adam Jones told you, that the Patriots now will move up in the draft to take a quarterback, and that was or is the long-term plan as it regards the Patriots and their football operation. We'll get to that after Arcane catches you up.
But it is a re-entry Monday here. So if you're looking to finance a home or mortgage or commercial real estate property, or simply looking for a free checking account, you can visit ebsb.com, East Boston Savings Bank, in your neighborhood since 1948. Here's Arcane with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Take it a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that then.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the radio.com app.
We keep focusing on those teams in the top 10. Well, some teams could launch their way up there. We've seen that in years past. Is there one that stands out to you think could be aggressive?
Yeah, I think the New England Patriots could be real aggressive. I think we've seen the New England Patriots step outside of their comfort zone as it relates to free agency. We saw them completely rebuild the roster with the number of signings on free agency and on offense in particular, the way they're rearranging the furniture, two tight ends coming over in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. We then see Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Cam Newton is re-signed. I believe they're about to go all in on an offensive makeover. The young quarterback is the final piece to the puzzle, and I think that quarterback will be an athletic quarterback, someone who can also give you something as a runner as they kind of bring this offense into the 2020s.
Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network, draft experts, so Jones tells me.
I like them. I like their work, moving the sticks podcast, yeah.
So after I crapped all over the NFL Network earlier today, because again, most of the networks, and when I say the league-owned networks, to me, they just don't give you much. There's not a lot there. And so I crapped all over the NFL Network, and I said the only network I never watch because I just don't put much stock in what the analysts say is the NFL Network. I think they blow. And then, Mike Giardi sent me a next nasty text, apparently tweeted something. I totally forgot Mike Giardi works for the NFL Network.
Well,
kind of a mistake.
That's the problem, right? Reporter, though. He's got credibility.
Thank you, Jimmy. Precisely my point.
I mean, I don't know about Christian and Jimmy. That's who I thought you were talking about when you made the comment earlier. I thought that was directed at Giardi, no?
No, not directed at Giardi.
That's how I took it.
I get my issues with Giardi, but that's not one of them.
You know, when I see kidding. Mike Giardi or I hear Mike Giardi, I learn something. I get a piece of information from him that I may not have known before.
So that's why I said it the way I said it, because I didn't even consider him, because he's a reporter. He does. He gives info, like Rappaport. Same type of thing. Right, Rappaport covers the league. Giardi's more Patriot-centric, but you get the idea. What did I say?
Ian what?
Rappaport.
Is that T silent?
Well, as opposed to Rappaport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the French version, I guess.
I've been saying it wrong all these years?
I'm assuming it's Rappaport.
Rappaport.
Yeah, well, like, what's the actor's name with the radio? Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, I think he's Rappaport.
Is
he's
it?
Definitely Rappaport.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I was giving, like I said, I was giving you the yeah. Bayou version.
Yeah, Adam Jones.
It's like the what?
Christian Arcan.
James Stewart.
James Stewart.
Stewart.
Wow.
All right, fine. You've made your point.
But shut Giardi, up. We like. Rap Sheet, we like.
Okay.
Giardi.
They're not just these empty suits on NFL Network who are just there to look pretty.
So the bottom line is that Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks believe the Patriots are going to draft up and move up and take a quarterback in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
I want them to. I don't think they will. No, but I want them to. And I'm starting to get a little leery about everybody tying them to Fields. Everybody's starting to do that. Phil Perry did that last week. Eric Edholm did that last week. They're doing it today. Edholm's at Yahoo. Phil Perry's at NBC Sports Boston. The NFL Network guys are doing it. And I'm starting to wonder, and I'm just noticing, because I like to follow the draft and read about the draft. If everybody's kind of pointing at one guy, that makes my antenna go up a little bit and go, okay.
Misdirection.
Yes, exactly. Now, I like Fields. I would take Fields in this draft number two after Lawrence. I would take him over Zach Wilson. I don't think the Jets are going to do that, but I like Fields. I would take Fields. I would take Lance. I would take Mac Jones. I just want them to get a quarterback in the first round. I think they should get a quarterback in the first round, but I have no expectation they actually will, especially move up to go get one.
So, look, to have a chance at any quarterback, other than assuming Wilson goes second, if it's Lawrence Wilson 1-2, they got to get up to 7 or 8 at a minimum. I just don't think it's going to get past that point in the draft without 3 or 4 guys already going off the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they got to get up to 7 or 8 somewhere in that stage. And again, I said to you, you know, I could see Atlanta taking a quarterback. You say no.
I'm not as sold as I was after the Ryan extension, but I guess I could see them doing it, yeah, or okay. The restructure or whatever it was.
So they're at number 4, right? Atlanta is. But, you know, you could have 3 quarterbacks go in the first 4 picks if the Falcons take one. So now, I tend to agree with you, Pac-Man, that I think the Patriots would be more likely to run misdirection at that position than they would be to take a guy who, you know, they're open about and who they like and everybody's connecting them mm-hmm. to. The other thing is, like, I look at that, and now all this field stuff is pouring in. Okay, I'm even getting emails about it from people who say they have inside info and that they're going to take Justin Fields. The Patriots didn't go to Trey Lance's pro day, or Belichick didn't.
Correct. The Patriots had their top scout there, but not Bill.
So that further, you know, puts my antenna up. And maybe this
about
is
about Lance.
Correct.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I'll tell you, too, the other thing is he's 20. He's young. I think they're going to have to, which I like. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would like. And I think there's two reasons for that. One is, again, you're talking about a kid you can mold who probably hasn't had that many influences on him. And you can get him before he gets corrupted by someone else. And two, it, you know, there is, you know, there's a longevity factor. You get an extra year out of it in theory.
Well, and there's a piece for Bill,
or
too.
Two.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a piece of it for Bill, too, where, you know, Bill can still do the whole I found you, I made you thing with Trey Lance. He'd be a first-round pick. So, like, that's hard to do with a first-round pick. But North Dakota State, FCS, 17 games, didn't really even play last. Like, there's an element of the whole
I made you.
Yes. I found you. I made you. Here's why you're here, and here's why you're successful because of me. Like, there's that element with him more than I think any other quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, no question. And look, there's some people have theorized that because he hasn't played, he could even spill into the second round.
Like, No way.
I've seen some people speculate that. Some of the draft coverage. I'm not telling you I believe it. I'm just telling you that it's out there.
Wrong.
So, in which case, you could probably take him at 15, maybe. Okay, I don't know that you could. You know,
yeah,
you,
he might. I would not think he'd be there at 15. He might be there at 15. He won't be there in the second round.
But I think that there is, to me, the one thing I'm coming around on is this idea that Cam Newton is the bridge guy, and that the next guy is going to be a more athletic quarterback than what they have had in the past, and that they're going to run a different kind of offense, and that these free agent acquisitions were done with the intention of starting the transition to a different kind of offense and also into the next guy. I think it has to be all connected. Has to be.
It's also the last thing left. It's the only real thing left on the rock. Like, think about it. All these free agent signings were basically cleaning up bad draft picks from the last couple of years. You drafted 2 tight ends. You just signed 2 tight ends. N'Keal Harry, you replaced him with these 2 wide receivers. You know, Judon is for Chase Winovich or Josh Uche or one of those 2 guys. And I think those guys can be rotation players. But just think about all the different things they've addressed in the first couple days of free agency. All that's really left is quarterback. That's all that's left. That's all I want him to do with this draft. I don't care if they don't make another pick.
Right.
They could trade every other pick they have so long as they put it towards a quarterback, because that's the final frontier of this roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Christian, it shouldn't take them a ton to move up 7 or 8 spots. It shouldn't take them a ton. You want to get up into the top 2 or 3 or 3 or 4, the price is a lot higher. But if you go by that draft value chart, you start to creep into the 7, 8, 9, 10. To move into that spot isn't as bad. Now, it might be different for a quarterback.
What is it, like this year's first and next year's first?
I don't even think could be as just another second in this year's draft. Or
so this year's first and this year's second.
Or a combination of picks, something like that. Hmm. It shouldn't take you another first in a future year to get up to 7 or 8. I don't think. We'll see how it goes. Again, the fact that it could be a quarterback, Adam, changes it, right? Maybe the value goes up because it's a quarterback as opposed to a linebacker or a receiver.
Yeah, because I know I brought these names up a lot, but I think the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Texans all gave up future first. Now, okay. The Chiefs and Texans came way up the board. The Bills didn't move too far, but I think they all gave up future first for a quarterback.
Okay, so just before we go to break, quickly, if the Patriots had to give up a future first to do it, would you?
Yeah. Yes. Arcan just said it. It's what you need. Like, I'd go from questioning this team and, like, are they a playoff team? Are they a Super Bowl contender? I'd jump right on board if they had the quarterback. Even in year one, I don't know that I'd say they're a Super Bowl contender, but the most important thing this year is finding the quarterback. More so than winning 12 games, it's finding the quarterback. So I'd feel really good about that if they did it. Yeah.
And if you sign all these free agents, in theory, you should have more picks to deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't need them all. Felger and Murray are out today. Adam Jones and Christian Arcan in on Felger and Maz. We'll be right back.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let me read you a quote on that, actually, because in the same story, D. Wood, Robert Kraft, again, you worked for him and you worked for Belichick and you played with Brady. He says of that, I was happy for him, of Brady. He's a great guy. He gave us 20 wonderful years. I wasn't happy to see him leave, but we gave him that opportunity. And I want to say, if we're not going to win and someone's going to do it, I'm happy for him. He deserves it. Damian Woody, your thoughts?
Come on, Greeny. That's just like political. Who wants to see their ex go out there and live good and eat good like that? Nobody wants to see that. For the Patriots, Mr. Kraft to say, oh, yeah, if anybody's going to go do it, yeah, I want Tom Brady to go out there and win another Super Bowl. Come on, man. Who's buying that? I'm not buying that. Nobody should buy that. As competitive as everybody in that building is, no way. So they came back with a vengeance this offseason, and we'll see where it takes them. But, I'm not buying that one bit.
Yeah, you wish well to your ex. No chance. No chance, especially when you're the one who got dumped. That's the thing. And you want to tell me that Brady looks at the Patriots and says, well, you know, even then, as Pac-Man pointed out earlier, he's looking at it going, no, the reason I left you is because I think you're an a-hole. So in the case of the Patriots, they're looking at it and they're saying, oh, yeah, no, we wish you well. They got dumped. Brady dumped them. That's the way you got to think of it. He dumped your ass. He couldn't. He was done with you, and that's it. He dumped your ass. The last thing I do is going to wish you well because I thought you were an a-hole when I was there. And as it turns out, he won the Super Bowl. Every time I say that, I still can't believe it. Huh. It's like he left. He went to Tampa, and he won the Super Bowl with the freaking Buccaneers, like the absolute dog poo of American sports. Dog food, American dog food, the Alpo Buccaneers. Oh, my God, he won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, totally shoved it down your throat.
Well, and then I was just going to say, and then he went out and celebrated and, you know, had a good time drinking it up and then, you know, all wobbly-legged off the boat. And, yeah, he really rubbed your nose in it.
Oh, my God, all the only thing missing was him barfing as he got off the boat. He was puking and going, God, that's the only thing we missed. Oh, how could you possibly be rooting for him? The Patriots are pissed. They didn't like what happened, and they should be pissed. That's what you should be happy about. Our buddy Tommy and Lynn. Tommy, what do you got?
What's up, guys? How are you today?
Good. How about you, Tommy?
Hey, Tommy.
Listen. All right, so the Patriots should trade the 15 pick and try to move down for the draft to get Justin Fields And that's my dog in the background barking. Her name is Gracie. She's 15, if you guys want to know what the hell is just going on.
All right, and you mean, Tommy, you mean moving up. I'm going to let you go. You mean moving up in the draft and getting Fields. Fields feels like a pipe dream to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, I think he's going to go high. You know, and when I say high, again, top five. Mm-hmm. I just don't think the Patriots are going up into the top five. But if you want to tell me they can get to 7 or 8 and then get Trey Lance, or maybe it's Mac Jones, and I'm sort of getting cooler and cooler on Jones.
I was just going to ask, no offense. Would you move up for him?
No.
Me neither.
No, like, I have trepidation about taking him at 15.
He's there at 15, I'm on board. I'll talk myself into it. I don't love him as a prospect, but if they're drafting a quarterback in the first round, that shows a little conviction, a little belief. I'll get on board with it. I don't really necessarily want them moving up to go get him, but I guess I'd hold my nose and deal with it because they need a quarterback. But Lance or Fields would be the guys for me. And I'm with you. I think Fields is a big, big move up the board to go get.
I don't know what it is. I'm getting more and more interested in Trey Lance. I have no idea why.
Apple Watch?
No, I wish it were. Mm. I mean, I wish it was, you know, I was going to say based on something concrete, but I'm not even sure even that qualifies.
No,
I mean, if you see some of the stuff I get on my Apple Watch, and you wouldn't think of half of it, you'd say that's not even close to a source. It doesn't stop me from going with it.
Sure.
But nothing you would ever give any sort of real credibility to. I just think the idea of Newton and Lance together makes sense to me.
Lance? More than Fields? I think Fields and
Okay,
Cam
so have... Fields does too. No.
Okay, just because you... Oh, Lance and Jones and Cam makes less sense.
Except correct. Fields is actually fast.
Correct. No. But I think that, you know, you're talking about a mobile quarterback who can run.
Versus more of a pocket passer.
Right. And yeah. The only reason I say Lance makes more sense than Fields is I think Lance could be there and Fields probably won't be.
Right, okay.
So that I just think it fits better for them in the draft. But he's a mobile guy who can run. He's got a big arm. You know, he's a younger Cam Newton. He's not as big as Cam and probably not as good, at least at that stage. Maybe he's a more accurate passer, but he's got a big arm. Like, the idea of going from one to the other and then being similar players, similar assets, I like that. I like the fit of that. Why, you think I'm crazy?
No, I like him too. And I said this, I don't know, last segment or two segments ago that, you know, there's Bill gets the element too of being like, I created you, I made you, which is hard to do with a first round pick. But if you're going to do it, it's better to go to, you know, the Division I AA FCS level and go get a kid from North Dakota State who hasn't played in a year. I think that allows Bill to take a kid in the first round but still do it. So, sure, I'd be on board with him. I'm just skeptical of Cam as the veteran sounding board guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Cam's a bad teammate. I had some questions about how Cam would be as a teammate last year, and I think he's a good teammate. Like, I think guys want to be around him. He worked well with the young guys. He's hardworking. So it's not that. It's just how many young players are in awe of Cam Newton? Kendrick Bourne today, the wide receiver they got from the Niners, came on and was like, oh, yeah, like, Cam got on the phone. He was all like, pumped that Cam got on the phone with him because he liked watching Cam as a kid. And imagine sharing the same, you know, quarterback room with him and being a 20-year-old kid like Trey Lance. Is he going to come
Jones,
in?
Jones, that's what happened with Jared Stidham this year. Well, he was in awe of him.
So that's I can't tell if that's tongue-in-cheek or not, but I...
No, he was serious.
Okay.
I was reporting on that back in August during training camp.
So, and I said something similar earlier, and Tony, you said, well, isn't that an indictment on Stidham? Yes, it is. Are we sure Lance or Fields or even Mac Jones or, I don't know, Zach Wilson or something? Are we sure they wouldn't be the same way? So that's kind of my fear with Cam, like... If that's your plan, just a bridge guy to be a good veteran for the other young guys, I don't know. I think there were other names you could have brought in that weren't Cam, who does feel like he kind of looms over everything. Through no fault of his own, just being the MVP that he was and, you know, being the quarterback that he used to be, I think he kind of looms over it more than some other veterans they could have gone with.
Yeah, and look, you might be right about that, Pac-Man. You might be totally right. Again, as Jimmy said, Stidham acted that way. I look at it more as the on-field transition, I think, would be
Yeah, the playing
easier.
Style and that. Yep, build an offense that suits Cam that would also suit another mobile quarterback. Yeah, I get that.
100%. Adam's in Lowell. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. The one argument I can't stomach anymore, whether it's from the media, the team, or even I had a friend who I told mine to change subjects with them because he said, well, what if now Cam next year comes out like 2015, like MVP Cam? It's like, that's not going to happen. You're just insulting my intelligence now. I watched him throw the ball. It's not Cam's fault. I don't think it's an effort part on his part. I think it's just he's taking a beating his career, and he just can't throw it anymore. And as far as the weapons go, I love what they did, and I'm scared about the wide receivers too, but at least they went after people and didn't sit on their hands, wait for day four and get, like, special teamers, you know? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so look, Adam, generally speaking, I feel the same way about both of your points. And I got no issue with Cam Newton. In fact, I like him more now than I did before he got here, because I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good teammate. I just don't think he can play anymore. Greg's in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I disagree with your point on desperation. To me, desperation is when something's unplanned. And we've all known for the last couple of years that they were going to have all this cap room in 2021. So we knew that they were going to spend it. Yeah, we have known. For the last 2 years, we knew that 2021, that they were going to have all this cap room. And especially last year, we knew going into 2021 with all these expiring contracts. I can remember seeing all these players that weren't, that they're either their contracts were that were expiring. So they had all this cap room. Not last year they didn't have the cap room. We knew that they were going to have the cap room this year, and they were going to spend it. So you can agree or disagree whether they should have had the cap room, but I think desperation speaks to the point where, oh my God, we have this cap room.
Do you think if they went 11-5 last year, they would have spent this way?
They have to spend this way because you have to spend to the cap, or at least your three-year average to the cap. They would have had to expend. They had to expend the money.
So
you have to spend to the floor.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't, Greg.
You have to spend.
No, you don't. And so, listen, again, what that is, and we're familiar with this on the program, as I'm sure you are too on yours, that's the Patriot honk who doesn't want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't want to hear the truth. And the truth is this. So everything you're saying, well, they've known for 2 years. Really? How did they know everyone else wouldn't have cap space? How did they know they'd be the only suitor on the market and the only team that could play ball? Which Robert Kraft said, by the way, in his comments, usually you get like a dozen teams on the market. So what, they predicted COVID too?
Mm-hmm.
They knew that was going to happen?
Well, yeah.
See, it's this kind of comment that is asinine. And what, you know what desperate means? When you don't have anywhere else to turn. So did they know they were going to draft like crap too? Because that's what they want to do. They want to draft like crap so they can go out and spend the money.
What Bill wanted to do was draft poorly for 5 years, suck last year, have Tom Brady go out, win a Super Bowl somewhere else, rub everybody's nose in it, then have the pandemic hit, have a bunch of cap space no one else could spend, and then they could go out and do whatever they wanted in free agency. And while they were doing that, not address the quarterback position or really the wide receiver position in any, you know, reasonable manner. I don't like the Aguilar or Bourne contracts. So that's what he did.
So that guy, there's something about that guy's tone that I found insulting, as if to say, well, you guys are stupid and you're misleading everyone. Who are we misleading? Mm-hmm. So this was all part of the plan for 2 years. They were going to go out and spend like crazy. Here's another thing. If their young players are good, why wouldn't they spend by giving some of those guys extensions?
Well, there's that.
Why wouldn't you sign Sony Michel or Damian Harris or N'Keal Harry or Isaiah Wynn? Or why wouldn't you sign those guys?
They should sign a couple of those guys. But they went 11-5 last year. Would they spend like this?
No,
hell no. Of course not.
No, please. Again, that guy's got his panties in a ball for crying out loud. Because why? Because everyone's sitting and saying the Patriots are desperate. They were. They don't have players. Which I think that they have admitted.
Yeah, I was going to say he should go read Albert Breer's column and Peter King's column and read Robert Kraft's comments and his tone and see if you think Robert Kraft is all excited about doing this.
So he's the one that wants to deceive people. We're not deceiving anyone.
Tony, I just want to clarify. We, as a Felger and Maz show, have been misleading the public since 2009. Yeah. T-shirts now available at 985thesportshub.com.
This is true. John Henry's famous line. You guys are misleading the public.
And we are.
That's a fair criticism. Which, by the way, in terms of our misleading of people, we'll get to the email of the day later, too. You don't want to miss that one. Arcan's got your headlines. No break here. Longest commercial-free segment. He'll fill you in on the latest. Jones and I will be back with more of your phone calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.